It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, January 28th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Is nothing sacred? News this week that U.S. and British intelligence agencies are using apps like Angry Birds to spy on users' metadata. That's according to newly obtained classified documents. And it's not just Angry Birds. The documents detail how the National Security Agency is using everything from Twitter to Google Maps to pull so-called excess data, like your location. Adi Kamdar is an activist with the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Location information can be useful by providing a more personal experience, but when it comes to games or something like looking up words online, it's unclear why these companies need to be collecting excess information.
Kamdar says users can opt out of giving away our metadata to apps and, by proxy, the NSA, but most users don't take the time to read the fine print or change their settings. In other surveillance news, the Justice Department says technology companies will have more freedom to disclose how often they're forced to turn over customer data, but not more information on volume or content. Google, Facebook, and others have been arguing for more freedom to disclose information about surveillance. Have you ever heard the phrase live high, train low? Me neither, but it's part of the strategy employed by the U.S. Olympic ski team about to head to Sochi for the Games. The idea is to acclimate the body to an altitude with less oxygen, which can boost performance. Today, the second conversation in our sports and technology series, Gaming the System. My guest is Jim Stray-Gunderson, who advises the U.S. team. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about how you're using nitrogen.
This relates to one of the things that myself and a colleague, Dr. Ben Levine, have come up with, which is to live high and train low.
Okay.
And so if, for example, we were in New York, we would be adding nitrogen to the bedrooms or the sleeping environments of the athletes.
And what difference does that make?
It's enough to take somebody who would normally finish 20 to 30th in a race and put them on the podium.
Tell me about some of the other tech that you guys are employing.
One of the kind of flippant things to say is we have lots of toys, but it boils down to going back to the basics. We want to have our skiers very, very fit.
So tell me about some of the toys that are employed in this effort.
For example, we have treadmills where you can roller ski on these. And then also I built in a system where we can dial in the altitude of the air that they're getting to breathe.
Are skiers actually wearing things as they train on the mountain?
That as well. There are these devices the size of two quarters.
Okay.
And we're able to place those into someone's clothing, and then we get GPS and accelerometer and inclinometer and track exactly what the athlete is doing, how fast they're going, what kind of forces they're using.
Well, and each athlete, I would assume, is different and needs to work on different things, has different strengths.
That's actually a great general point to make. When we're talking about Olympians, we're talking about applying principles in general that we know about to that specific individual and optimizing as many of the aspects of the competition as possible. And so I serve a role of being kind of that, librarian / interpreter of things that are going on in the scientific world that may have application in the sports world.
The coolest librarian that one could possibly imagine. Jim Stray-Gunderson is a former cross-country skier and a sports science advisor to the U.S. Ski Association. Jim, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome, and go USA.
You can find more of our Gaming the System series on our website, marketplacetech.org. The going style in Silicon Valley is often sneakers, sweatshirts, and looking like you just rolled out of bed. But as Marketplace's Queen Akim reports, there are some subtleties to tech industry uniforms.
When you talk about fashion and Silicon Valley, the first thing that comes to mind is Mark Zuckerberg and his signature hoodie. When Facebook was going public, he got nailed for wearing one while courting investors.
There is one here.
But Dan Woods, a techie I met in downtown Palo Alto, says The hoodie wasn't sending a message to Wall Street, but to Silicon Valley.
Hoodie signals young talent. That's what you're trying to show.
In Silicon Valley, the hoodie is also the badge of the engineer. Wood says in this tech boom, the engineers are king. And to attract talent, CEOs need to show that success hasn't made them soft.
You want to signal that you can code, that you're a hacker, because you want to show that you still have the skills, you're still in the game. And if you start to change the uniform, it looks like you're not in the game anymore.
Alexei Komsarik is an engineer, and he says there's a lot of code in the Silicon Valley dress code. In fact, he can guess who's in tech and what they do by just looking at them. He tried out his superpowers on Dan Woods.
What's this thing called? It's like a sweater.
Komsarik is pointing to Woods' zippered V-neck.
That's like classic VC. And then you've got the button-down shirt underneath it. That's like the uniform.
He was right. Woods did work in venture capital, and around that time, he bought the sweater. Eric Schockenberg is the co-founder of Buck Mason, a startup that sells men's clothing mostly to men in tech, which means lots of T-shirts, jeans, and button-downs. He says the uniform is a longtime tradition in Silicon Valley.
I wear a pair of jeans and a black T-shirt almost every day. It's one less thing you have to think about.
In the fast-moving world of tech, the idea is to show that you're not wasting precious time on something as vain as fashion. In San Francisco, I'm Queen Akim for Marketplace.
And before we go, Google this week confirmed it's purchased an artificial intelligence company called DeepMind. The startup apparently works on creating new forms of algorithms that learn and mimic the processes of the human brain. I guess Google's mission to create the Star Trek computer continues. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.